This is On Second Thought. I'm Tony Harris in for Celeste Headlee. More and more Americans are diagnosed with epilepsy every year, according to recent data published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For the first time, the information includes epilepsy numbers from every state. They show more than 3.4 million people in the U.S. are epileptic. And with me now to discuss the data is Rosemarie Kobau, a health scientist with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Rosemarie, good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us on Skype is Joseph Servin, a professor of neurology with the Mayo Clinic in Arizona. Joseph, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
And you two are colleagues. You know each other.
We are colleagues, yes.
Well, it's terrific to have you both. Rosemarie, let me start with you. I guess I was initially surprised by all the things I thought I knew but really didn't know about this condition. Mm-hmm. Maybe a good place for us to start is to have you explain epilepsy, the condition that is not just one condition, really.
Sure. So epilepsy is a neurological disorder that's characterized by the tendency to have recurrent seizures. You know, the brain is made up of billions of nerve cells that sort of talk with each other using tiny electrical signals, and sometimes those signals misfire. So a seizure is an abnormal burst of electrical activity that causes sudden and temporary changes in how a person feels, thinks, or behaves.
You know, and Joseph, I wonder if you could tell us who's at risk for epilepsy, and do you necessarily know if you have it?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. First of all, one of the things in terms of at risk for epilepsy is literally all age groups.
Yes.
A lot of people think it's just something of young adults or kids. The truth is, if you look at the numbers, which we'll get to in a moment, mm-hmm. which is the fact that you see the biggest pools of people tend to be the very young, and then those, the other pool that a lot of people don't realize, are the older group, the ones that are 65 years and older. And so any age group is actually at risk. Now, some people are very aware that they have seizures when they present, but some, because of where the seizures arise from, it can actually come from the same areas that produce memory. So for some people, this is like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So those folks, it gets to be very complicated because they think this is not happening, but family and friends are bringing them to your attention.
And if I could just add something, as Joe mentioned, all ages and all racial and ethnic groups are at risk. But our findings and other studies from other countries have found that people at lowest income levels are at higher risk of developing epilepsy.
Why is that?
Well, we don't know exactly. However, some risk factors might be more common in those groups. So, for example, poor prenatal care. That low-income, women are not able to get or are dealing with poor prenatal care. Mm-hmm. So certainly that could be one reason.
Okay.
And infections that might be more common in, individuals who don't have access to care and vaccinations.
So, Joseph, as I continue to try to expand sort of my understanding of this, my understanding is that epilepsy is something that is a part of the genetic makeup of people who have it. But do we understand fully what triggers it in people?
Yeah, and the truth is what exactly triggers someone to have seizures versus not is probably something we don't know.
Okay.
But I guess what's an important point is if you think of the brain as one amazing chemical battery, the fact is every brain has certainly the potential for seizure. But what's probably set in genetics is the threshold to which these external things, whatever the cause may be, throws you over to having a seizure. So if you think of it in that direction, all of us are at risk for it. It's just that we're set at different set points at what's going to bring us to that point that you actually have the seizure.
Mm. Rosemarie, so we learned from this study that more people are living with epilepsy than we mm-hmm. thought. My understanding is the last study of this kind was in 2012. And what's changed since 2012 in that study?
Yes, so we published our study in 2012, but the data were collected in 2010. Hmm. And we found that the number of adults with active epilepsy, which again includes adults who are diagnosed with epilepsy and who report being under treatment or having recent seizures, that the number of those adults with active epilepsy rose from 2.3 million in 2010 to just under 3 million in 2015. And the number of children with the condition increased from 450,000 in 2007 to about 470,000 in 2015.
I want to get to what you're learning from people who are living with epilepsy in a moment. But is there a reason, Rosemarie, that we are just learning, getting more numbers from all the states in the country? Is there a reason for that?
Well, in part, epilepsy hasn't been included as a question on most states' surveillance systems. CDC works with states to collect data on something called the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. But again, there haven't been resources to support epilepsy questions until recently.
Gotcha. So this area of living with epilepsy, boy, people tell really compelling stories about dealing with it, living with it, and trying to go on with a normal life. Let's share a bit of a story from athlete Jenny LeBaugh. She is one of the millions of Americans that you just mentioned who are living with epilepsy. She shared her story on YouTube.
The hardest part was getting it out, just letting people know. You're told that you're not going to be able to get your driver's license, or you're not going to be able to have children, or there's all these things that you're not going to be able to do that the normal person would be able to do.
Joseph, look, Jenny has grand mal seizures. She's on medication, where she describes living with the feeling you get when you hit your funny bone in your arm. Now, look, there's nothing funny about that. That's pretty tough. Where are we when it comes to developing better treatments for epilepsy, given that there is no cure at this point?
Yeah, you know, here's the good news. There's a lot of new treatments. In fact, from when I started practicing in this area almost 20 years to where we are now, we've gone from 3 drugs to 28 drugs. We've gone from 1 surgical procedure to about 4 surgical procedures, a diet. There are 3 devices that you can implant. There's lots of options, but I don't think people are very well aware of how many of those options that we are. Even with those options, you're right, we are very limited on the cure, and we still have a lot to do and to go there. But I do have a message of hope, which is we have a lot of things that we can offer that can make meaningful differences in people's lives.
Yeah, if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with CDC health scientist Rosemarie Cabau and neurology professor Joseph Servin. Rosemarie, tell me what you're learning from people living with epilepsy about how they're going on with their life, how they're dealing with what is oftentimes the stigma of epilepsy?
Sure. Well, it's important to note that many people with epilepsy, especially those who do have good seizure control, do have a good quality of life and can contribute in meaningful ways. But certainly, epilepsy is very challenging for a large proportion of people with epilepsy. And in part, it's due to the challenges of the disorder itself. Having seizures, uncontrolled seizures that can happen anytime, are distressing. Certainly, it's anxiety provoking. The treatment, some medications, especially some of the older medications, can cause side effects that for some people are actually worse than the infrequent seizures that they might have. Many people with epilepsy, almost about half, are likely to struggle with mood disorder, depression, again, anxiety. And as we heard from the previous segment, there are limitations that people with epilepsy face that others with other chronic disorders don't necessarily face, such as driver's license restrictions,
yes,
limitations with employment. Certainly there are children with epilepsy experience, challenges in school. And again, having some types of seizures can be very distressing for onlookers to see. And so people with epilepsy face and feel stigmatized.
Yeah. I'm going to have to let that be the last word. But I thank you both for coming in and for the conversation this morning.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Joseph Servin, a professor of neurology with the Mayo Clinic and editor for epilepsy.com. And with me here in studio is Rosemarie Cabau, a health scientist with the CDC. Enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.